these people that you're talking about working with, they have high expectations. They want absolutely the best service they can possibly have. And part of that, where I feel like a lot of people are afraid, is they have a fear of actually speaking up and putting a line in the sand and drawing a boundary. Yet there's a level of respect that actually comes when somebody knows that you're going to be able to stand up to them just like you're going to stand up for them. I'm Stephen Pesavento, and welcome to the Name Your Number podcast presented by the Investor Mindset. As someone who comes from a challenging childhood, I've spent my life seeking financial security, personal growth, and ultimately freedom. The freedom to not wake up worried about the next paycheck, but rather with the confidence of knowing that my passive income pays my bills without the need to think about it. When you name your number that you'll earn passively, that creates your ultimate quality of life, then I believe you've achieved real freedom. Welcome to my show. It's time to name your number. How are you doing today, Jane?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
So, Jane, you're an incredible real estate broker out of Florida, selling multi-hundred million dollar houses, working with some of the top people in that space. And I'm excited to talk about your experience working with some of the wealthiest people, what you've learned, all kinds of great things about real estate and in between. But before we do, what I want to start out with is actually looking back at earlier in your life. What events or influences from your childhood shaped who you are today?
Well, I would say that would be my parents. They would be the first people I would talk about. I stood on their shoulders, of course. My mom and my dad. Well, my mom was a registered nurse, and my dad retired her after, you know, creating his own businesses, which were bars and nightclubs, and taught me everything there was to know about running a bar and a nightclub at 14. So I learned about inventory. I learned about dealing with people, not high level people at that time, because our bars and nightclubs weren't in the best area, but they took care of us. And I watched my life and my siblings' life actually change, just totally evolve from them becoming entrepreneurs on their own and creating their own hours and their own space, you know, in the industry of entertainment, which were bars and nightclub, and everything was better. Better clothes, better cars, better homes. And I thought, wow, if they can do that, then I need to work for myself also. So to make a long story short, I've never had a job. The only job I ever had was a flight attendant, and that was happenstance. Friend called me one day and said, let's go be flight attendants. I said, are you crazy? I just graduated from college with a finance degree. What are you talking about? My parents will kill me. I went with her on an interview. I got hired and she didn't. Went home, talked to my dad. Of course, we're not friends anymore. Went home, spoke to my dad, who was a pretty open person. My mom was like, no, shut that down right now. We just paid for school. She's going to be an attorney or a financier or whatever, but she's definitely not going to fly around the sky and serve people. My dad said, let her do it. It's once in a lifetime thing. She can see the world. She did everything she was supposed to do. She didn't get pregnant out of wedlock. She didn't do anything bad. She graduated from school. Let her see the world. She can always have that to fall back on. Best decision ever. Worked with the airlines 4 years, 2 years into the job, I realized I had a part-time job with full-time benefits, meeting people from all over the world, all walks of life, you know, service industry, but learned a hell of a lot from people and lifestyles. Met people from, you know, here to here, you know, and me, I always go the full nine yards. Not only was I flight attendant, I became what they call a international flight service manager. So I was always doing first class. I was the person when you got on the plane making the announcements and met a lot of really, really nice people that said to me, you could do other things. And I said, I know. 2 years in, I took my time and flew around the world, went everywhere I thought I might miss if I take a regular job because I won't be able to afford it, or I didn't know if I could. And I opened up my own business after that. I quit after 4 years, walked in, handed in my wings, and said, bye-bye. Because I realized I was able to really take advantage of the situation I was in. Met a lot of people. And I opened up my own business, my first company, which was interior design. Did extremely well. Met because I was flight attendant, met a lot of athletes, judges, dignitaries. I started working for them, did really well. That rolled into entertainment because I met so many people. Someone asked me one day, do you think you could, you know, help me out with booking? And I went, I know nothing about that. However, yes, I'll try it. And that's what we did. I went into booking. It was Keith Byers' wife. She sang with Regina Bell Armstrong. And that's how I got started in entertainment and went from there.
It's so cool. I think it's so cool because, you know, I have a similar background. My mom was in hospitality for decades, bought a bar. And once she finally was an owner, it totally changed her life.
That's right.
From a world where you're working, making 20, 30, 40 grand a year, maybe plus tips, to a world where, you know, you're making what somebody would make if they're working in some fancy office somewhere, but
That's
you
right.
have ownership of what you're doing. And there's something you learn in hospitality where you can understand what other people are thinking, feeling, and the importance of service.
That's right.
Which I think is really important today.
Absolutely. And we had five bars and I think three nightclubs. And we would go around and I would be with my dad closing them, opening them up, learning how to do inventory first in, first out, counting money really quickly. I'll never forget taking money to the bank and counting it for them. And they were like, wow, you're fast. I said, this is many years of counting money. So that was an interesting thing. And my dad, just to be clear, my dad only went to third grade. Mm. So he was a Renaissance man in his time. You know, and unfortunately, he passed away at 62 back in 87. And that was unfortunate for us. But we carried on and, you know, kept the family together. My mother never married again. So that was something very interesting too, because that was her love of her life. And that was it. But she held the fort down and raised us. It was seven of us. So you can imagine at that time, in those days. So fast
forward.
That's a
lot. Yeah. Very, very strong mother. I can tell that you picked up some of that from her.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what my dad told me. Yeah. That's a good thing. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
But fast forward, moved to New York, lived in New York last past 14 years. Market crashed in 2008. Everything went, you know, to pits. Industry, entertainment, nobody had money. Nobody was doing anything. People were losing their homes. And lo and behold, I got married and came to Florida. I don't know how that happened, but all of a sudden I was married and I was living in Florida in 2010. Got my license and went from there. Started selling $90,000 properties. They were, and you can imagine, copper ripped out, everything ripped to shreds because people were very, very angry at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just worked my way up. I mean, I chased my tail for 4 years trying to understand the business because every business is different, even though you are a business owner. There's a strategy and a state of being and a state of mind and a skill set that you have to learn, which I try to tell other agents, especially new ones, to shift. So for 4 years, I really wasn't sure what I was doing, even though I was a savvy businesswoman. I had to put all the pieces together and hire a coach. Once I did that, I took off like a rocket. And I went from 90,000 to $30 million properties, you know, and really dealing. And I, all of, you know, when I think back on it, you know, in retrospect, all of that experience brought me to where I am. And when it came to speaking to people of wealth, that was easy. I had already done that. You know, I already served them. I understood the lifestyle, you know.
It's fascinating the feeling of, you know, I bought and flipped 200 houses and now we buy large apartment buildings, you know, $20 to $50 million buildings. But it's crazy to think back that first check I got, we flipped a house and it didn't go well. And I only made like $5,000 or $10,000.
Yeah,
and that first check felt so good. And then you fast forward and you're, you know, selling a $30 or $50 million building and you're like, wow, if I wouldn't have gone and done the hard things.
That's right.
In learning and taking smaller risks, I wouldn't have felt comfortable to go out there and take the bigger risks, let alone to attract the kind of people into my life who can partner and bring that kind of capital to allow us to do that. And so what I'm curious about, Jane, obviously you're super hard-driving, successful, service-oriented person. But what have you learned along the way that it takes to be able to serve people who are the best at what they do in their world, and they can trust you to bring you into theirs?
Listening. I think listening is very important. Hearing what the customer is asking you for. And that's on the buy or the sell side. If you're listening to what they're saying and you're understanding, you know, what they're dealing with, especially sellers, because sellers don't always come clean with you. You know, you have to be confident enough to say to them, you know, is your back up against the wall? How do we play this out? Because I'm your partner. I don't work for you. I work with you. So we have to open this all the way up, peel this onion all the way back, and tell me exactly what I'm dealing with. So when negotiation time comes, there's no question. And on the other side of that, with buyers, it's really about hearing what they're asking you for, not just bringing them anything because you're desperate and you need to make money. And I always ask agents, I said, do you know what it feels like to get a check for $300,000 with your name on it? I said, that can change your life. That can change everything about your life. I don't know where you are now, but I know where you will be at that point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think for me, being a very good listener, really strange this sounds. I don't know what's coming. I'm sorry. Being a very good listener, understanding the client and being very service oriented. You have to come from a life of servitude also to handle these clients, because you have to understand these clients understand lifestyle. They have it. And if you don't know anything about their lifestyle, you're already done before you hit the door. You know nothing, you know. And also I sometimes I feel for young agents, because the young agents, they get into this business and all they think about is the dollar. And I say, you're thinking about it wrong. If you're thinking about the dollar, it's not coming. You're chasing a dollar. It's not about chasing a dollar. It's about understanding what you're doing. You know, you have to have a mind shift.
Yeah, and how to get that energy so that money is chasing you, that you're not in a place of need and lack, you're in a place of abundance, so these people are coming to you. And I think there's something really powerful that you said I want to uncover and underline for folks is you talked about these people that you're talking about working with, they have high expectations.
Oh, 100%.
They want absolutely the best service they can possibly have. And part of that, where I feel like a lot of people are afraid, is they have a fear of actually speaking up and putting a line in the sand and drawing a boundary. Yet there's a level of respect that actually comes when somebody knows that you're going to be able to stand up to them just like you're going to stand 100%. Up for them.
100%. And they will share that with you also. You have to be confident in who you are and what you do. And you have to know your business. If you don't know your business, you're already in trouble, because you have to understand, you think about it. People that are buying homes for $5 million and up, this is not their first pony ride. They've done this. This is not their first home, their second home, sometimes their third home. And they're pretty savvy. They're business owners, you know, especially here in Naples. We have titans that have come here, titans of America, that have come here and laid their hats down. And when they're looking for someone to do the job, to buy the property or to sell the property, they're looking for that same experience that they have when they were at the helm of that company. These are, you know, CEOs that have retired. And they know from the moment you walk through the door, if you're confident enough. And that's why I always ask agents, do you ask them, is your back up against the wall? Because most of them will say, especially sellers, well, I really don't have to sell. Mm-hmm. My question is, if you really don't have to sell, sir, Mr. Seller, are we wasting each other's time today? Mm-hmm. And you have to be, you have to own that. You have to own it. Because if you don't own it, they're going to look at you like, oh, wow, she's really pushing me back. She's not, you know, she's not going to take this. She wants to know, why is she here? Do not waste her time. And she doesn't want to waste your time. So if you don't really have to sell, why don't we come back together when you do have to sell? Mm. Very simple, you know, keep it simple. So I try to really peel back the onion when I'm in front of them and find out what the real reason of the sale for. Because if you're selling a $5 million, $10 million, you can tell me anything. You could be divesting. I'm fine with that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that means we don't, when it comes to negotiation, you're going to stick with that number because the numbers have to work for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have to be savvy enough to understand that person. And they're going to share things with you. Sometimes you don't, you know, it can go over your head. I remember a couple times I was in the company of different people and things went over my head. You know, the first thing I would say, you know, I don't want to sign that. I don't mean literally sign it. I'm just speaking mm-hmm. in terms. Let me get back to you in the next half an hour and make sure I'm 150% sure when I give you this answer. Mm-hmm. Never, I never give an answer on the spot if I'm not 100% sure. And a lot of agents, they will do that immediately. And it'll come back to them and bite them.
Well, it's so true and it's so important, regardless if you're an agent or a business owner or you're doing nothing to do with real estate. It's this level of balance between confidence and abundance mm-hmm. and the willingness and to be able to draw that line and be humble enough to say, you know, I actually don't know the answer. Let me get it for you.
Exactly.
I'm the person who can go get it. So tell me, Jane, there's so many directions I want to go here, but what I'm really curious about is we're talking about the kind of clients you work with. What have you learned by working with some of the most successful and wealthy people? And what kind of things have you applied in your own life that you've noticed some of these other people who are spending 10, 20, 50, $100 million on real estate, what do they do?
Well, I've learned that some of them will take the reins because they're in control most of the time. And at that point, you let them go. And you say, okay. But you also explain to them by taking the reins, you pull yourself out of certain equations and you don't, it won't come back on you. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest lesson I've learned when someone wants to really control the situation or the transaction. You have to step back and say, okay, but we have legal to handle things, so you can deal with that too. The second part of that is that most of the time when you're dealing with people of a certain ilk or wealth, they like to be in control. They like to be in control. So you have to let them be in control, but know mm-hmm. your business and take your stance. You know, when you take your stance, it's because you're confident in what you do and who you are. And for me, that's the biggest lesson, I think, out of all the homes and all the people that I have met in this space. Not to try to strong arm anybody when it comes mm-hmm. to doing a deal. So, yeah. And it's every customer is different. Every single transaction is different. You know,
and that's why I think it's so, like you said, it's so important to listen. I feel like a lot of people are really good at speaking, yes. but if you actually listen to the bottom of what they're actually saying beyond the words, there's so much information that's there, because you could meet somebody and they look like they could never afford to buy this house 100. And they could have a crazy amount of money and mm-hmm. someone else can show up driving a fancy car and wearing a fancy watch. And they are not at all qualified. So it's almost like you need this ninja ability to read people. And at the same time, you need to treat everybody as if they're, you know, the next client.
Oh, I believe that's how I got to where I am. I treat everyone exactly the same with the same type of service. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, Jane, my house was only worth X amount of dollars, but what you did, you went, you know, way beyond. I never thought, or they'll say, I wasn't sure if I should call you because I didn't think you sold homes at this price. I said, I sell homes at every price. You bring it to us, we're going to sell it. Trust me, we're not going to turn you away. And that goes, like you said, that goes across the board with business, you know, being a good listener, understanding who the customer is, reading the room, knowing when they are in the room and giving them the respect that's due to them. You know, if you go in there acting like you know everything, you're going to fail. You know, you have to be uncomfortable in certain situations to really understand where your comfort level is. And then once you are there, you still may have to make room with grace when you're dealing with these guys, because trust me, you do not want to make mistakes at that level.
Mm.
So yeah. I always say, you know, Jane, no matter what happens, keep grace, keep a bank full of grace, you know, and when you need it, then you pull it out. However, you know, just know your business, stay up on your contracts, stay up on your, you know, what's going on with your boards, just stay completely up on everything, because you can make a mistake and it can cost you everything or something.
Mm-hmm. Because reputation is such an important thing in these circles, and it takes decades to create it and only one or two transactions to 100%. Destroy it.
And not only reputation, just integrity, you know, mm-hmm. integrity is more important than anything. You know, if you, you know, think you can get away with certain things, it comes around, you know, and mm-hmm. especially in Naples. I mean, we're 18 miles long. We have 10,000 agents in an 18 mile radius. Do the math. So to be able to make it to the top, you know, especially in a city, or we're not even a city, we're a county, a county mm-hmm. where nobody looks like me. When I came here, nobody was here. And, you know, I never understood the question. Well, I guess I could. Let me not say I never understood the question. I just did a speaking engagement and someone asked me, you know, how did you feel? And I said, well, that never entered my mind, you know, what I looked like, you know, that mm-hmm. I was brown. I definitely was aware, but I've been around the world. I'm like a chameleon. I can fit in lots of rooms. So I would say, you know, if that enters your mind, you're already defeated because you're already uncomfortable in your own skin. And that's a horrible thing.
And this is something that I think is like such a good example for literally everybody everywhere to hear, is that this idea of a victor mindset versus a victim.
Exactly.
Right? You're somebody who there wasn't a lot of other people like you or any. And you could have easily gone down that other path. But from what I've understood about you and what I can pick up, you're the kind of person who says the table doesn't exist, but I'm going to find my place at it.
Oh.
I can bring this into my life and no one's going to tell me I can't. And with that mindset, anything's possible versus the opposite, which only holds you back.
100%. You bring your own table. Because there definitely will be chairs. You bring the table. You become the table, you know, and you own who you are and what you do. And that only brings confidence. I mean, especially for someone like me. I mean, I'm 6 feet tall pretty much. So when I walk in a room, you're already going to recognize me or notice me. The hair gets bigger than it is because of the humidity. But I never thought about that. You know, when the question comes up, I go, wow, I never even thought about that. I always thought, can I get the job? Am I doing the thing? Am I doing what's right? Do I have the right coaches? You know, are they steering me in the right direction? Am I taking in the information and, you know, distributing it the right way? That's all I ever thought about. How am I going to get to the top? How am I going to get my name on both sides of those boards each month so I can win like my colleagues? That's all I thought about. I never thought about, oh, God, you know, I'm too brown. No, never. Mm-hmm. Never entered my mind.
And so you obviously you have your own business where you're working with clients directly, and then you have all of this team of brokers that work underneath your agents, depending on what you guys call it in your state. What role has the business played in creating kind of financial independence for you? And what role has investing played? I know early on you did some flipping and maybe some other things, but I'm curious to hear, as somebody with that skill set and knowledge and relationships, did you go down a path of making investments, or did you invest with other people who could do all the work so you could focus on your craft?
Well, no, of course I invested myself. I wanted to know the numbers. I didn't want to have a team, and I didn't get into any type of syndication or anything. No, I did do some flipping, but that was way before the market crash. That was like in 2006. I went into
early days.
Yeah, I went into my own brokerage in 2020, taking on several agents. And I usually teach them, you know, listen, you're buying all this property for all these people. Are you buying anything for yourself? Because you have to think about your wealth, you know, and that light bulb doesn't go off so soon for people. They're just hustling, you know, trying to make the next dollar, watching the bank account grow. And I'm like, why are you watching your money? Allow your money to work for you. You know, you're trying to buy, you're leasing your car. Let me share with you. Why are you paying for that lease when you can buy this building and the building can pay for the lease? The building can actually pay for the home. Mm-hmm. Don't make the mistake of trying to go and buy, you know, this huge house before you buy something that can bring the income, you know, and a lot, that light bulb just doesn't work sometime for people. I mean, it took me a minute to think, okay, well, I'm not going to invest in single family homes. No, I'm going for the big stuff. I'm going for commercial property. And then I had to cross the, you know, bridge of, well, I can't afford it in Naples. And not only that, we don't have multi-units in Naples, really. So I got to go outside my state. And that was another fear I had to overcome. And one day I just got on a plane and I went to Chicago and spent a few days there and said, that's what I want. And I purchased it. Same thing in Philadelphia, you know, and now it's no big deal for me to think of purchasing commercial property because I see what it has done for me in my life and my income and bringing in that passive income. So I don't have to work so hard. That desperation, there was a desperation early on and I did make decent money in my other businesses. But when you're in real estate, you know, the competition is deadly, especially here, you know, and if you're in it, for me, if I'm in it, I'm in it to win it. I'm not in to just sell a couple of houses here. No, I'm going for it. And that's the drive. That's the mentality. That's the ninja mentality you start getting when you know you're moving and you're moving fast through the business.
I think it's so important that brokers and agents go and do this stuff because I meet so many people and they never invest in real estate, let alone if they're going to invest in a fund or partner with somebody who's an expert and does this all day, every day. I think there's big benefit in that. But if you're an expert in your local neighborhood and you can look at a bunch of properties, but maybe you can't afford to buy there, there's not the right stuff, you can use that skill. Not only is it smart from the income side, but from the tax side, there's incredible 100%. Tax benefits, and these brokers are paying all this money to Uncle Sam that the system is set up to help them be incentivized to put that money to work.
Absolutely. They never get there. A lot of agents don't get there because it's the mindset. It's like you said, lack, you know. Mm-hmm. If they start thinking, you know, in the sense that I can do this, if I just put, you know, my foot to the metal, keep moving towards this goal and do the work and show up, you know, they think if they, you know, and I'm not going to throw everybody under the bus, but a lot of agents believe that, you know, if they sell a few houses a year, it's okay. Well, are you in it? Or are you not in it? You know, you can't have your foot halfway in and halfway out. This is not that type of business. And then you wonder why you're not doing well. And investing should be the first part of it. Once you get that big check, and I say, if you have $50,000 to $100,000 sitting in the bank, something's wrong with that. Are you just looking at it? Or, you know, are you not allowing it to work for you? You can even call around and ask the banks who's paying for new money. You know, and switch it up. I tell them all kinds of things. I said, I do all kinds of things. I said, listen, if I get a big check, the first thing I do is I'm calling the banks to find out who's paying for new money and how much they're paying. That's the first part, because I know if I do a deal, it's not going to unfold for at least 3 to 6 months. And that's a beautiful thing.
It is crazy to me how many people have their money sitting in a checking account when I'm earning 5% with $3 million insured just because I know the right bank, or I put in a money market. It's like, these are simple things, but if you don't have the experience of doing it and setting it up the first time, it feels overwhelming. But it's almost like you said, if you're going to do it, let's really be in it. So let's take the action, learn the thing, apply the strategy, and get comfortable with it.
listen, if you have $3 million sitting in a checking account, knowing that every time you turn on the TV or listen to somebody that's in business that knows business telling you, well, we'll give you 5.5% for 6 months if you keep it there for 6 months and it's liquid in 24 hours, something's wrong with you. I mean, I'm like, and it's liquid in 24 hours. I mean, or you can use it as a checking account. I mean, if you want. But if you don't know, you don't know. You have to ask people. You have to, you know, dig and find out. And if you're in this business, this is a business of making money all day long, not just to sell homes. You know, and if you
got to learn how to get your money working for you.
Absolutely. I learned a lot from my customers. I had quite a few hedge fund people, you know, guys. And they would always ask me, Jane, what are you doing with your money? Well, I'm sure you're going to help me out and tell me. So you, the advice you give me, I'm going to take it. However, I will get a second opinion, but I'm listening. And, you know, when you're in the business that long, you do meet a lot of really smart people selling at that level. And you have to take advantage of that. You know, financially.
Have you invested with any of those clients out of curiosity?
Just
knowing that you work so closely with them?
Just one. And my husband, he dressed all of Wall Street. So I meet those guys all the time. He's an English tailor who dressed. If you saw Wall Street, the movie, he was the little guy doing the measuring. I mean, real life.
That's really cool.
True life things. And I meet them, I hear, you know, I sit with them at dinner, I hear them tell me all kinds of things, you know, and the first thing we talk about is, Jane, how's the market? Of course.
Yeah.
So that's where we get
I think to. That's one of the big takeaways that I've learned, because I grew up without a lot of money, and then I started hanging out with people who are very wealthy and generational wealth. And one of the biggest things I noticed personally is that they talk about money all the time, not from a place always of boasting, but mostly from a place of what's working for you. This is what's working for me. This is what didn't work. And there's this constant learning going on where you start hearing about opportunities and things that can actually make a difference in your life.
Oh, 100%. I hear about deals and things that are going on all the time because we have people that this is a destination, Naples. So when these guys come here, that's all they're talking about. And at dinner, over dinner, that's all they talk about is money. And sometimes it can be a bit unnerving, you know, of course. But educational also. I learn a lot from them. Like you said, they teach you things that you never even thought about, you know, and they put it in a way that you go, oh, wow, I never thought about it that way. I never even thought about putting my money there for, you know, this amount of time, or I didn't even know it was a vehicle, you know, that could take me there. And once they start releasing the vehicles to you and you start putting, you say to yourself, okay, I can do this. It's some, you know, it's something about this that's going to work. But I've been with, you know, I have to say, like a Keller Williams, I was with them many years ago. They're very good at teaching their agents about investing. And I think other companies should implement that. They don't. It's more about the transaction. Keller Williams, one thing about that company, they have, you know, huge forums for their agents to go to learn how to use certain vehicles that get, you know, them high percentage and high interest rates on their money and returns, and also teach them how to invest in properties. You know, I think it was a couple times I went to what they call Bold. Every person that was up there owned over 100 properties around the country, not in one place. And that's what piqued my interest that, you know, when I bought the place in Chicago, I was like, oh, wow, I can go there and buy a property. Okay, I get a management company. It doesn't have to be me. I'm not on the ground. I'm not changing anybody's light bulb. You know, I don't need all of the money. I'll give that 10% or 8% away, well, mostly 10% away, for someone to handle my business for me. You know, you have to put the right people in the right places to make sure everything is done properly. Because you can't be everywhere.
I think it's super important. I know we have to wrap up, but I think it's super important because when you go and put a property manager in place, you have to find the right one.
100%.
Or you also have to be the asset manager, the person who's going to make the high level decisions, reviewing the numbers, being familiar with that stuff. But it's totally possible and you're capable of it. But a lot of people think, oh, I just put a property manager in and that's it.
Oh,
that
no.
is one step. But when you bring it all together, it can really, really open up new possibilities. So, Jane, it was so great having you on. Before Absolutely. We part ways today, why don't you share with the audience how they can follow you or get in touch if they happen to be looking to look for some more of your wisdom on the internet?
Well, they can find me at JaneBond__ on Instagram. I'm also on LinkedIn as Jane Bond, TBAGCY.com, which is the company, the bond agency. My website is www.TBAGCY.com.
Amazing. Well, it was very great talking to you, inspiring. When I get out to Naples, we'll have to hang out.
Oh.
And we appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me, Stephen.
Today's episode is sponsored by Von Finch Capital. If you're interested in investing alongside me in the same type of real estate opportunities that I personally invest in, then head over to Von Finch Capital and join their private investor network. You can do so at vonfinch.com/invest. Join me on that next deal, and I look forward to seeing you on the inside. Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, make sure to rate, review, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Head over to theinvestormindset.com to join the Insider Club, where we share tools and strategies from the top investors and entrepreneurs on how to take it to the next level. Hey, this is Steven again. Just one more thing before you take off, and that is the Insider's Newsletter. Would you enjoy getting a single email every week with some of my favorite things, including tips and strategies on how to get the most out of your life and your investments? Basically, what it is some of the coolest things that I've discovered or am pondering when it comes to life, investing, and business delivered in a short email every week to your inbox. Easy to sign up for, easy to cancel. If you'd like to try it out, type into your browser, investormindset.com/newsletter to get started, and you'll get the very next one.